الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. In our last discourse, we ended off by speaking of some of the major events that will take place before the hour when it comes that the trumpet shall be sounded and it will bring about utter destruction and ruination of the world. Those are known as the major signs of the hour of judgment, and we had mentioned before about the minor signs that would have come before those signs. Two important things were mentioned which were known as the major signs and greater signs. One was with respect to the coming out of the Dajjal, the emergence and the appearance of the Dajjal, the Antichrist. And we have mentioned about that, the fitna, the mischief of the Dajjal, the Antichrist. And along with that, we also spoke about the descent of Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, the son of Maryam. Obviously, these things would occur at the time when Imam Mahdi will be there. Two other signs that the books of Aqaid have spoken about, which are from among the closest signs to the hour of destruction. So much so that when these signs come about, it is not far away from the world to come to an end, which is known as Yawmu Sa'a, the day of the ending of the world. And one of those signs is the rising of the sun from the west. The rising of the sun from the west. And it is our aqidah, as Imam Tahawi has placed it, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِطُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ مِن مَغْرِبِهَا. And we believe in the rising of the sun from the west. The sun will normally rise from the east. The sun sets in the west. But a sign of the hour of judgment is that the same sun that rises every day from the east will begin to rise from the west. It will occur once. But the occurrence of the sun's rising from the west, it says that that is the end. No one who did not believe in Islam and believe in Allah before, their iman will not be accepted. Those who have not done good deeds before, their good deeds will not be accepted. And those who have not done tawbah and repentance before, their tawbah after the rising of the sun from the west will not be accepted. So the rising of the sun from the west is from among those major signs that it is mentioned in the tradition that it is of the last of the major signs. The last of the major signs that will come about. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, the hadith which is recorded by Imam Muslim from Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, he says, once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and he said this hina gharabat ash-shamsu, at a time that the sun was setting. So he said to them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, أَتَدْرِي أَيْنَ تَذْهَبُ هَذِهِ. Do you know where the sun goes? Do you know where the sun goes? قُلْتُ. Abu Zar said, I said, اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. Allah and His Messenger knows best. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said, فَإِنَّهَا تَذْهَبُ حَتَّى تَسْجُدَ تَحْتَ الْعَرْشِ. He says that this sun goes until it makes sajda and prostrates beneath the arsh of Allah. This is where the sun goes. فَإِنَّهَا تَذْهَبُ حَتَّى تَسْجُدَ تَحْتَ الْعَرْشِ. It goes on until it performs sajda and prostrates beneath the arsh of Allah. فَتَسْتَعْذِنُ. then it seeks permission to rise again the next day. فَيُؤْذَنُ لَهَا, and then permission is granted to the sun to rise the next day from the east. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, وَيُوشَكُ أَن تَسْجُدَ وَلَا تُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا. He says, very soon it will happen that the sun will set and make sajda, but it will not be accepted from it. وَلَا تُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا, it shall not be accepted. وَتَسْتَعْذِنُ, and the sun shall seek permission to rise from the east. وَلَا يُعْذَنُ لَهَا, and permission shall not be granted. وَيُقَالُ لَهَا, and it shall be sent to it. إِرْجِعِي مِنْ حَيْثُ جِئْتِ, go back, return from where you came. Subhanallah, where did the sun come from? The west. The sun rises from the east and sets in the west, and it is being sent to the sun, go back from where you stop, where you came down, and that is the west. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said at that time, فَتَطْلُعُ مِنْ بَغْرِبِهَا, then the sun will rise from the west. The sun will rise from the west. But during the time when the sun is seeking permission and the sun is rising from the west, at that time, the night preceding the rising of the sun from the west will be a very, very long night. According to traditions, one night will be equal to three nights. The sun, it is stated, will set. And this will be the night preceding the rising of the sun from the west. The sun will set. And while the sun is seeking permission and not being given permission, the time will pass. A whole night will pass, it will come to the morning, but there will be no sunrise. The entire day will pass, it will pass from the normal time of sunrise to sunset, and there will be no daylight, it will be night. One night and one day. The next night will come, it will pass, the day will come, no sunlight, no daylight. But the people, in their understanding, they think that it's supposed to be the daylight. No sun again. No sun again. 2 days. The night after that will pass. 2 days and two nights. The third day will pass. And this will bring a tremendous amount of disturbance. It will be terrible. It will be difficult. The children will begin to scream and wail and cry and run about. People will begin to become scared and frightened. People will be in such a terrifying state that they will not know what to do. And when they see that this is happening, then many people will begin to accept Allah. Many people will begin to become believers. Many people will begin to make tawbah. People will rush to do good deeds at that time. And 3 days and three nights will pass, and the sun will not rise. And after that period, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives permission for the sun to rise, then the sun will rise, but from the west. And this will be even more severe upon mankind, that this has never existed and it has never occurred on the face of the earth. From the time creation started from Adam alayhi salam, never did it ever happen that the sun rose from the west. And when people see that, people will begin to believe in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will begin to believe that Islam and the deen of Allah, it is the true deen. And they will begin, when they see this sign of the sun rising, because many people have been told about one of the sign of the hour of judgment is the sun will rise from the west. But many people do not accept it. People will normally think, there are two ways people go about it. One way, people continue to say, we still have time. That will not happen now. It will happen probably in those days. So people will be under the deception that it is not the time for it. So they do not do good deeds. They do not repent unto Allah. And some others do not believe because they think it will not happen now. It will happen. It is yet to happen. And the other thing is that people may not naturally believe in it because they think that this is very difficult. And the rising of the sun in the west or from the western direction, as some people have recently started to say, it does not mean the natural rising of the sun from the west, but it means that Islam will begin to rise from the west. Subhanallah. Such an interpretation which contradicts the meaning, the words, and the message of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such an explanation is batil, it is vain, it is falsehood, and not acceptable in Islam. That hadith I've quoted, recorded from Abu Zar, is not only reported and recorded by Imam Muslim, it is also recorded by Imam Bukhari, which goes to show that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam identified a literal rising of the sun from the west, a literal and physical rising, and it is not figurative or metaphorical of Islam rising in the west. If many people are accepting Islam in the west, so that is the sign of the hour of judgment. This is something that will take its course, whatever Allah has decreed to happen with the rise of Islam. But this is a separating that is known as the rising of the sun from the west, the physical rising, so much so that the commentators of ahadith and the compilers like Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, and all the other compilers, they have recorded that the ayah in the Holy Quran wherein Allah says, يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ, the day when some of the signs of Allah will become apparent, لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلٍ. He says, Allah is saying in the Holy Quran that the day that some of the signs of your Lord will come, it is a day when no soul's iman will benefit them. No one who will accept iman at that time will ever be considered as a believer. أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا. Or those who did not achieve any goodness with their iman at that time, after the sun rises from the west, they will not earn any good. So as soon as the sun starts to rise from the west, that is the end for the acceptance of any iman and any tawbah and any good deeds. That is the end. But this, the mere rising, will be a means for people to believe. It will be a means for the people to believe. But Allah says their belief will not be accepted. People will run to the houses of Allah to begin to cry and weep, because now they are seeing with their own eyes whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said is really here. It is coming to pass. The sun rising in the west is real. We are seeing it. So let us make tawbah to Allah for whatever we have done. But Allah says no iman and no tawbah will be accepted at that time. Nothing. They will remain in that state. And the sun, after the third day, it will rise from the west. It will come up. It will come up, according to some riwayats, to its zenith, the middle of the sky, its highest peak. According to some other riwayats, it will come at around the time when the duha or cha salat is performed. It's the mid-morning salat, the nafil salat. It will come over to that point, subhanallah, and it will go back right there. Subhanallah. It will only come to that point and will not go further than that, but it will set in the west. It will set in the west. And after that, the next day, the night will pass. That will be a short day. The night will pass. But from the next day, it will begin to rise from the east. But there wouldn't be much time on the face of the earth again. And that is what is known as Tulu'u Shamsi min Maghribiha, that the sun's rising from the west is one of the great signs of the hour of judgment. Then Imam Tahawi goes on to say, and we believe بخروج الدابة من الأرض أو من موضعها, and we believe in the coming out and the emergence of the animal or the beast of the earth from the earth. This is another sign which is known as a great sign of the hour of judgment. What is that sign? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ, when the word has come to pass already, it means when it is about the time for the ending of the world, when it is the promise of Allah is coming that the world will come to an end. إِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ, when the word has passed, أَقْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ, we will take out an animal from the earth for them. Allah says, we will take out the animal from the earth for them. What will this animal do? تُكَلِّمُهُمْ, the animal will speak to all of them. What will the animal speak? أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُوقِنُونَ, that mankind did not believe in the ayats of Allah. This is what is known as Dabbatul Ard, as the sign of the hour of judgment, the emergence of the beast or the animal from the earth. According to many traditions, which has been recorded by Imam Abu Dawud, Hafiz ibn Kathir has quoted those traditions. It states that when the sun reaches on the third day, after the third day, when the sun rises from the west, and when it reaches its peak, at that very moment, an earthquake will rock the mountains in Makkah. And it will shake the mountain of Safa. We know the two hills, Safa and Marwa. It will begin to rock the mountain of Safa to the extent that the mountain of Safa will open. And when it opens, an animal will come out of the middle. An animal will come out from the middle. The Holy Quran testifies to this. أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ, we will take out the animal from the earth for them. That animal will come out in the same manner as the camel came out during the time of Saleh alayhi salam. During the time of the Thamud people, when the Prophet Saleh alayhi salam came to the people, they requested a miracle to come about so that they may believe. Saleh alayhi salam, the Prophet Saleh asked them, what miracle do you want? They say, we want a pregnant she camel to come, because camels are not being born, so our wealth is suffering. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Saleh alayhi salam that tell them that it will happen, but when it comes and the camel comes, they ought not to ill-treat that camel. And then from the hills and the mountain, between the rocks, they saw this pregnant she-camel coming out. That was the sign. So this animal will not be born. This animal is not a such an animal that's going to give birth. This animal is a totally different type of animal from anything people have seen on the face of the earth. The batam min al-ard, it is an animal from the earth. The animal will come out. And it is stated that when the animal comes out from Mount Safa, it will be heading towards the area between Hajar al-Aswad and Maqam Ibrahim. People will at that time will be making tawaf. Upon seeing the animal, many people will run away. Many people will run away, but some people will stay. And that animal will go to the people, and the animal will touch the believers, and their faces will be illuminated like the bright stars. And the animal will leave there from that place, the haram, and then the animal will move throughout the earth. No one will be able to escape from the animal. The animal is sent by Allah to perform a task. The animal will recognize every believer, and the animal will recognize every unbeliever. The animal will touch the believers and their faces will become bright. Will become bright like the stars, the riwayat says in Abu Dawud. And the animal will touch those people who are unbelievers, and a sign of their disbelief will come between their two eyes. And they will be recognized immediately by others, they are unbelievers. And this animal will remain on the face of the earth as long as it performs the task given to it by Allah, and then it will disappear. It will just disappear and no one will know about it. These two signs, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and says Imam Muslim has quoted the riwayat. He says these two signs are the two final signs of the hour of judgment. No sign after that. Subhanallah. He says, if I have not heard, If I did not hear these words from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam again and again, I would never have reported this. But I have heard it from the Rasul again and again. This is why I have firm trust, reliance and confidence that these things will exactly be like this. That the two final signs before the hour of judgment, before the hour of the destruction of the earth, will be the rising of the sun and the coming out of the animal from the earth. He says, whichever one comes first, the other one will immediately come. And according to many traditions, we see that the rising of the sun will take place first. And when the sun reaches its peak, before it goes down to setting, the animal will come out at that time. But as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and as it is recorded in the Holy Quran itself, when these signs come out, nobody's iman will be accepted after that. People will be running to believe. People will be rushing to do good deeds. And people will be running to make tawbah to Allah. But the Quran says no tawbah will be accepted. No iman will be accepted. No good deeds will be accepted. Whatever will be accepted will be before that. And this will bring about the destruction. After these signs, immediately things will begin to happen. And all the different signs that Allah has given in the Holy Quran, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ, when the sky starts to burst apart and you see the sun and the moon colliding with each other, and then the stars will lose its luster and it will fall down. All these things will immediately occur afterwards. That will bring about the final hour, the destruction, the trumpet shall be sounded, and thereafter all the things we have heard about will take place. So these are some of the major signs of the hour of judgment that Imam Tahawi has touched upon, showing very, very clear that the things that are mentioned, they are not figurative. And I remind you again and again, because this is the day and age that all these things have been given different interpretations. Many people, we have spoken about the Imam Mahdi. Yes, many people came in the past that claimed to be Mahdi, but we know by now they have been all false. We know they are false. Because the Imam Mahdi will be at a time when Isa alayhi salam will appear, and when the Antichrist will be here. That is the time the Imam Mahdi will be here. And the Antichrist has not come as yet, and Isa alayhi salam has not descended as yet. So where is the Mahdi? The belief that the Imam Mahdi was born and has gone in hiding also is against the belief of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. So at the right time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to send reformers to the deen, and there are always guided people in every era. But that one who will be known as the Imam Mahdi, the leader of the Muslims, whose coming will be a sign of the hour of judgment, it is that person who will come around that time. And as we explained last week, where his father's name will be Abdullah, his mother's name will be Amina, Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and says he will be from the progeny of my son Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, and he will resemble the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his conduct, but will not resemble the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his shape and form. But in conduct, he will be just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the one that the Rawafis and the Shias have stated that he has come, who is the Mahdi, actually he is from the progeny of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. So that's the first sign that he is not the Imam Mahdi. Because he will come, the real Mahdi will come from Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, the other son of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So therefore, these things are real. It will occur and exist as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. So there is no figurative meaning given to the coming out and the emergence of the Dajjal. As I said, a country and a nation is not the Dajjal. The Dajjal is the one-eyed person who is normally referred to as the one-eyed king who will come on the face of the earth, because he will have a great leadership. These are some important beliefs about the major signs of the hour of judgment. After that, Imam Tahawi mentions part of our aqidah also. There are many people who surround us. There are many people in the past, and there will be many people who always claim to know the future. They will be known as the name as fortune tellers and soothsayers. People will tell you that this will happen and that will happen. People will tell you that I know what will happen to you, telling the future. Imam Tahawi says, our aqidah as the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat is that we're not supposed to believe in them. And we cannot believe in them. He says, وَلَا نُصَدِّقُ كَاهِنًا وَلَا عَرَّفًا. We will not testify as truthful the soothsayer and the fortune teller. The kahin and the arraf. The soothsayer, the one who predicts future developments and events, and the fortune teller, the arraf, who says that he knows what will happen to you in the future, what's going to happen to you tomorrow, what's going to happen next week, and what will happen week after. He says, لا نصدقهم, we do not believe in them. We do not believe in what they say. وَلَا مَنْ يَدَّعِي شَيْئًا يُخَالِفُ الْكِتَابَ وَالسُنَّةَ وَإِجْمَاعَ الْأُمَّةِ. And we do not believe in anything that anyone claims which is opposing to the teachings of the Quran, opposing to the teachings of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or opposing to the teachings of the ijma of the Ummah. We are not going to believe in any one of these things. So the first and foremost thing, there are people who may read the stars and will like to tell you what will happen to you. There is the reading of the palms, the palmistry. People may read your hand to tell you what will happen to you, how many years you will live. People will read and they will predict what may happen. They will read the crystal ball. They will read the cards. They will read the stars. They will read the movements of the moon. They will draw diagrams and read the diagrams. And they will do so many things just to predict and to say what is going to happen in the future, when the Quran and the Sunnah teaches us no one but Allah knows the future. No one. No one knows it except Allah. Whatever the prophets may have said that will occur, that is based on wahi, which was revealed to them, revelation. On their own, they could not predict or say anything that will happen. But whatever Allah has taught them and Allah has revealed to them from wahi and inspiration and revelation, they were able to mention those things, and they prophesied certain things, and it did come to pass. But for anyone, like how we have the reading of horoscopes, and people believe in the reading of the horoscopes, and there are many names that people may align themselves to, which horoscope they may believe. All these things are totally haram in Islam. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ata arrafan," whosoever comes to a fortune teller, and the fortune teller is that person who tells you he can speak about your future, who tells you what to look out for today, what may happen to you this afternoon, what may happen to you tonight. The job that you are undertaking might not be good to you or good for you. He tells you, he can tell you that. Whatever name they may take in our day, whether they deal with a book, whether they deal with supernatural beings, whether they deal with dreams, but once that person says he's telling you what's going to happen in your future, then they are known as arraf. They are known as arraf, fortune tellers. They seem to claim to predict what will happen to you in the future occurrences. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ata arrafan," whosoever comes to an arraf, "fasa'alahu an shay'in," and he asks him a question regarding anything. And why will you go to a fortune teller? To ask him a question about yourself. Well, you know, I need to open this business. Tell me if the business will prosper. I need to undertake a trip. Tell me if I can do it now. Tell me about this, tell me. And he's telling us, and then people may believe in it. So the purpose that people go to fortune tellers is that they may know something about their future. You know, it's a natural tendency in the heart of a human being. He really wants to know what's going to happen to him. He wants to know what's going to happen to him tomorrow and the next day, and whether this is good for him or not, when Allah alone knows and no man knows. But it's something that a person becomes mufattish. He's searching. He wants to know. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whosoever comes to the arraf and he asks him a question about anything, lam yuqbal lahu salata 40 laylatan." For 40 nights, his salat will not be accepted. The hadith is recorded by Imam Muslim and Imam Ahmad, so it's authentic. It is sahih. Whosoever comes to a fortune teller and they ask that person anything, for 40 nights their salat will not be accepted. In another riwayat recorded by Imam Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ata kahinan aw arrafan," whosoever comes to the soothsayer, the person who predicts the future events and developments, he knows what's going to happen, And the Arraf, the one who tells you that he can tell you what will happen to you. Whosoever comes to them, وَصَدَّقَهُ بِمَا يَقُولُ, and he testifies to the truth of what they are saying, that they begin to believe in what these people are saying, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بِمَا أَنزَلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ, then they have denied and committed kufr with what has been revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have denied that. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoke totally against those things, that people who go to them are committing shirk. You are joining partners with Allah, because Allah is the only one who knows the future. And he knows what's going to happen to you. And now you are putting your iman and your trust and faith on these people, and you are going to them. It is totally impermissible. On one occasion, the hadith is recorded in Sahihain from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, that the people asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the kahana, about the soothsayers and fortune tellers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَيْسُ بِشَيْنِ, they are nothing. They are nothing. That's total falsehood. So the rawi, the narrator and the sahabi said, but O Prophet of Allah, sometimes they say something and it really comes to pass. It really comes to pass. What is it about? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it is kalimatul haq, what they are saying, it is the truth. Where does it come from? يَخْتِفُهَا al-jinn, the jinn steal it. The jinn steal it from hearing it from somewhere. فَيُقِرُهُ إِلَيْهَا, and then they pour it over to the soothsayers and fortune tellers. And then the fortune tellers mix with that one truth 100 lies, and they present it to the people. And because the people can see some substance of the truth, well, he did say something like this, although it was not identical, but at least that person did say something, so you begin to believe. But that is haram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even went further to say, hulwanul kahin khabisun. The hulwan, hulwan, literally it comes from the word hulwan, which means sweet. It means the sweets given to the soothsayers, it is khabis, it is impure and dirty. It was the custom in those days, it still exists in many different, the norms of different communities, that when people go to these soothsayers and fortune tellers, they do not give money, they give food, they bring sweet dishes for them. You cook sweet dishes and they bring for them. So this is literally called halwa, hulwan. So then they take it, this is a wage to them. They take it and then they may give to you and they may give to other people, and they have everybody eating from the sweets, just as people may give to their religious leaders. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this is khabis, this is impure, this is dirty. Now further than that is that culture may have gone, but the concept of the halwa is still there. Meaning that the wages that the soothsayers and the fortune tellers take, it is khabis. It is dirty. So when you go to these people and you pay them, that is dirty wealth for them. It is unlawful, it is haram. And it is in this context the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, وَمَهْرُ الْبَغِي, and the mahr and the money that a woman who commits acts that are indecent and immoral, and they commit acts of zina and fornication, and the money they are paid, that is also khabis. That is dirty and impure. And he also said, وَثَمَنُ الْكَلْبِ, and the money earned by selling dogs also is khabis and impure. All these things are narrated in one tradition, speaking about the unlawfulness of certain wealth, that people may do certain things as a profession, but it is not permissible for them. So, the things that we have mentioned, that Imam Tahawi has mentioned, is about going to a soothsayer is totally haram. One. Going to a soothsayer, a person who can tell the future and tell about future developments, Muslims should not do that. It's also haram for a Muslim to continue to read the horoscopes that they read in the daily newspaper. And then, you know, there is this thing that is prepared on a yearly basis and they know exactly when the things are going to happen. Na'uzu billah, they are totally haram. Soothsayer, fortune teller, anyone, and then he goes further to generalize it, anyone who makes any claim, whether he be a soothsayer, a fortune teller, or a person who amounts you, who says he's having true dreams, and in the dreams he says, you know, he knows what's going to happen in the future, or he has some other beings working for him, and he continues to say that these beings come to tell him the future, once it is opposing the teachings of the Kitab, the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the ijma of the ummah from the sahabas coming down, then we ought not believe in those things. They are totally haram, and it is not permissible to go to these people and not even believe in these people. Okay, so that's a very, very important thing we need to understand, and these are things that go on daily. Sometimes you are opening a shop and you want to go by someone to tell you whether it will prosper or not. It's haram, it's not permissible. How can this person tell you? How can this person tell you? So, we have to be very careful as Muslims. Because sometimes we do certain things and it affects our aqidah and our belief in Allah. And you know, our belief is not a practice that if you do something that a person will say, well, the way you perform salat is invalid, repeat your salat. The corruption that takes place in the aqidah, you can't see it and you are not aware of it, but it easily begins to become corrupted. And that is something we have to watch out for and we have to look out for. Imam Tahawi goes on to say, وَنَرَى الْجَمَاعَةَ حَقًّا وَصَوَابًا. We see jama'at, the Ahl Sunnah. We see the jama'at of the Sahabas and the jama'at, yani the unity of the Muslims being under one jama'at. We see this as haq wa sawab. This is the truth and this is what is correct. To affiliate ourselves with one jama'at, the jama'at of the Muslims. To affiliate and align ourselves with the Ahl Sunnah wal jama'at. The jama'at of the Sahabas and the teachings that came down from one generation to the other generation. This is haq, this is the truth and this is the correct thing. وَالْفُرُقَةَ زَيْغًا وَعَذَابًا. And division and partition among the Muslims, this is deviation and this is destruction. He says this is the way we look at it. So what the point he's making here is Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at, we are not the people who believe in division, partition, dividing the Muslim, disuniting the Muslims, and one party goes on that side, and another party goes on the other side, and another party goes on the other side. We, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'at, this is not our conduct, and this is not what we believe in. So we see, وَنَرَى الْجَمَاعَةَ. We see being one, united in one Jama'at, as it came from the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, to the generation after them, and then to the other generation, we see them as haq. This is the truth. This is the path that we ought to be upon. Wal furqa, partition, division. No, no, no. We see that as zaygan, division. We see it as deviation. We see it as azaban, as a means of the azab of Allah and destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran, wa'atasimu bihablillahi jami'a. And all of you should hold together to the rope of Allah which He stretches down to the earth. Allah's deen, Allah's book, Allah's teachings which has come to us. It is important and emphasized to us that the teachings of Allah which has come to us, we all have to unite and all together hold on to that. And once we hold on to the teachings coming from Allah, there is no room for division. There is no room for deviation, and there is no room for departing from one, from each other. Because if you believe in what Allah has commanded, and I believe in the same thing, how can we separate from each other? Then we believe in the same thing. And this is what Allah is saying, وَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبَلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. And all of you hold on fast to the rope which Allah stretches down, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And do not divide yourself. That is what Allah is commanding us. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And Allah tells us in the Quran, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا. Do not become like those people who divided themselves. Do not become like those people who divided themselves, who fell into divisions, they fell into partitions, and they fell into factions. Do not become like those people at all, but remain under one jama'at, under one gathering. So, it is not permissible for Muslims to divide themselves. It is not permissible for Muslims to part themselves into factions. It is important for Muslims to always remain united together. So when divisions begin to take place, and partitions begin to take place, and you have factions all over the place, what is the recourse of the Muslims? To adhere to that one party that came down from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then went off from one generation to the other generation, which is known as the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaat. Every other faction and group were those people who went off to another track. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ. And do not follow all the pathways that are the side. Because these pathways will make you divided. It will make you separate. It will make you go into your own faction. And this is what has happened. So therefore, furqat, division and partition, is not permissible. When remaining together in the jamaat, that is what is required. So, a very, very important thing we need to understand. Further than that, the deen of Allah, Imam Tahawi says, وَدِينُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ وَاحِدٌ. The religion of Allah in the earth and in the heavens is the same one religion. It's no different. Because if on the face of the earth Allah is one God, then they don't have a separate belief in the heavens. They also believe Allah is one. And if on the earth the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is known as the final Nabi, then in the heavens he is also known as Akhirun Nabi, the last and final and seal of all of us. So because this is known in the heavens and the earth, and it is the religion in the heaven and the religion of the earth, then there is no difference between the religion which is in the heaven and the religion of the earth. So Imam Tahawi says, the religion of the heaven and the religion of the earth, Deenul Wahidun, it is one deen. And what is that deen? Wahuwa Deenul Islam, and it is the deen of Islam. It is the deen of Islam. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated clearly in the Quran, Inna deena inda Allah al-Islam. Certainly the religion with Allah is Islam. The religion which is acceptable by Allah is Islam and no other way. Because Islam means belief in one Allah. This is the core of Islam, Tawheed. This is why it is said again and again in the Holy Quran. It speaks about the religion with Allah is Islam, and it also speaks about anyone who searches for another religion besides Islam, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ, it shall not be accepted. Why? Is it because we want to exaggerate and because it is fanaticism, or it's because of some other reason that because we are Muslims, we are saying this? No. It is because of the fact that the religion which came to Adam, and the religion which came to Noah, and the religion which came to Abraham, and the religion which came to Moses and Solomon and David and Jesus and Moses is the same religion that you believe in one Allah. Not two, only one Allah. And that is the same religion which teaches us that that Allah does not have a son, nor does he have a daughter, nor that Allah has a mother or a father. He is one. And since that Allah is one and one alone, he alone deserves to be worshipped. And that is exactly what Musa alayhi salam told the people. He said, O people, O Israel, your God, your Lord is one God, and he alone should be worshipped. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Nothing different. Isa alayhi salam was asked, what is the right deed? He says, the right deed is that your Lord is one God. That is bas, finish. Wa hadha sirata mustaqima, and this is the right path. Which are the right path there is? There is only one right path. So when it says, Imam Tahawi says, the religion of Allah in the heavens and in the earth is one, and that religion is Islam, this is not because of any exaggeration or because of the fact that a Muslim has written the book, or we believe we are Muslim so we will say it. It is because of the fact that Islam is the religion that believes in the oneness of only one God. Just one. And he cannot be imagined in the mind. He can't be drawn in a picture. He has never appeared in the form of a human being, so that you may put a picture or an image and say that this is your God and you worship him, and none but him should be worshipped. And this is Islam. And as a person who believes in that one creator, those who believe in the one creator have no choice except they have to believe in everything that he has said, he has done, he has sent, and he will do. If a believer is a believer in the one Almighty God, then he must believe in all these things. So therefore, what do the Muslims believe in? The Muslims believe in all the prophets without any distinction. Subhanallah. We don't take Muhammad and reject Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. We don't take Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and reject Musa, Moses. No. We don't take Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and we reject Prophet Solomon and Dawood. We don't do that. But we love each and every prophet to such an extent that whenever a Muslim uses the word of a prophet, the name of a prophet, he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, may the peace and the blessings of Allah be upon that Nabi. The aqidah and the belief of a Muslim regarding the past prophets is so much that Allah revealed the whole surah concerning Maryam, Mary, the mother of Jesus, subhanAllah. Allah revealed the whole surah about the family of Musa alayhi salam, Moses and Aaron, the family of Imran. Huh? Allah revealed the whole surah that is called the surah of Joseph, the son of Jacob. Why? Because Muslims are not biased. We believe in every single thing that Allah has sent and everyone that Allah has sent on the face of the earth. Abraham alayhi salam, Abraham is our Nabi. He's the Khalil of Allah. He is alayhi salatu wasalam. Our prophet came from the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam, but we equally respect Ishaq alayhi salam, who was the brother of Ismail alayhi salam, the father of the Israeli prophets. We bear no grudge, no enmity. لا نفرق بين أحد منهم. The Quran announces Muslims must never differentiate between the prophets of Allah. We do not put up one and put down the other one. Whatever fadilat and virtue Allah has given to anyone, so be it. Allah has given to them that virtue. Musa alayhi salam was honored by Allah to be the only Nabi who spoke directly to Allah on the face of the earth. Alhamdulillah. Ismail alayhi salam was honored by Allah to be Zabihullah, subhanallah. Isa, Jesus, was the only Nabi to have had that miraculous birth. Subhanallah, we believe in all of that. So this is why I'm trying to emphasize the point that when it is said wa dinullahi fil ardi was samahi wahidun wa huwa dinul Islam, that the deen and religion of Allah in the earth and in the heavens, it is one religion and it is Islam. This is without exaggeration. This is without biased attitude, because it is the truth that this is the religion that continues to adopt the principle of Tawheed. Not more than one. La ilaha illallah. There are no other gods. There are not two and three and four and five. There is one, the master, the creator, the governor, the lord of the heavens and the earth. We believe that he never ever came in the form of any human being. We believe that he has no children. That is our iman, and that is the religion of every Nabi who visited the face of the earth. So when this religion is the religion which preaches the fundamental teachings of every prophet, then this has to be the true religion. If, subhanAllah, look at it. If this is the religion that upholds the fundamental teaching of every Nabi from Adam until Isa alayhi salam, then how can this be false? This has to be the true religion. So the asal, the deen, the aqidah, the deen is wahidun wa shara'i'u mutanawwi'un, as it is said by the scholars. The deen, the religion is one, but the sharia might be different. The individual laws, the laws of adultery, the laws of stealing, the laws of fornication, the laws of salat, the laws of fasting may differ in every deen. They may have two times, we may have five times. We may fast for 30 days, some of them may fast for 5 days. It may differ, but deenun wahidun, the deen is always one, and was always one. The sharia might differ based on their customs and their norms and the society and community at that time, but the deen is only one. And this is why Allah says, because Islam is the religion that teaches only one God, that teaches the belief in all the prophets without distinction, believing in all the religious scriptures. We don't believe in the Quran and reject the Injil of Isa. We don't believe in the Quran and reject the Torah of Musa, Moses. We don't believe in the Quran and reject the Zabur of Dawood. No, no, no. We believe in the Quran and believe that that came also. We believe that it came to them. That is what we believe. We believe that. So we don't put up one and put down the other one. And it is because of the fact that Islam is the religion that has such teachings of every prophet. Allah says in the Quran, "Inna dina 'inda Allahi al-Islam." Certainly the religion which is with Allah, maqbulun 'inda Allah, the religion which is acceptable to Allah, it is Islam. Because this is the only religion that teaches total and full submission to one and one being, Allah, and Allah alone, and no other one. And Allah also says in the Quran, he has revealed it to be the final and complete way of life. So this is why after revealing all the laws and whatever adjustment needed to take place, the adjustments were done. Allah says, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. I am pleased with Islam as your religion. this announcement among all religious scriptures. This announcement was given in the Holy Quran alone, where after the completion and perfection of Islam, Allah says, I am well pleased with Islam as your religion. I love that for you. Subhanallah. Then he goes on further to explain what Islam is. He says, وَهُوَ إِمَامْ تَهَاوِي says, وَهُوَ بَيْنَ الْغُلُوِ وَالتَّقْصِيرِ وَبَيْنَ التَّشْبِيهِ وَالتَّعْتِيلِ وَبَيْنَ الْجَبَرِ وَالْقَدْرِ وَبَيْنَ الْأَمْنِ وَالْأَيَاسِ. But this religion, you must understand, O Muslims, he's saying, it is between extremism, extravagance, exaggeration, and between falling short. In other words, Islam does not teach us to be extremists. Extremist meaning that you take any particular thing and you go down on that side and you are going beyond what is required from you in the Sharia. And you are doing so many things which the Islam did not order you to do. It did happen, the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala, and when they found out about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's status and ibadat, knowing that he was forgiven all his sins, they started to say, see me, I will never stop fasting, I will fast every day. One Sahabi said, recorded by Imam Bukhari, I will never marry, I will remain alone and always do the ibadat of Allah. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that, he became so angry. He says, no, no, this is not the deen which Allah has given to us. I am a prophet of Allah. I marry, I have children. I am a prophet of Allah. I sleep, I wake sometimes at night. I am the prophet of Allah. I fast and sometimes I do not fast. So what type of extremism you are bringing upon yourself? Ghulu. And this is a warning which Allah gave to the Ahlul Kitab. Ya Ahlul Kitab, la taghlu fi dinikum. O people of the book, do not make ghulu and extremism in your religion. That you want to develop such an attitude that you leave off and you renunciate the world and you become a monk. No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, la rahbaniyata fil Islam. There is no rahbaniya. There is no monkhood in Islam. To reject the world, to reject this way of living Allah has given to us, and take oneself and live far away from human beings, and think that you are doing a very great thing in the sight of Allah. This is not what Islam is. We have to live among the people, we have to be among the people. We have to bear patience, we have to be pure, be forbearing. We have to go through the sacrifices of life, that's the normal course of a believer. But to take any extreme end, and to do anything to that extent, it is not permissible at all. Nor should we behave in a manner that we are always falling short of the requirements of religion. That on one hand, a person says, I don't want to practice ghulu and extremism, but at the same time, he's doing things but not doing it complete. He's always falling short of what is required in Islam and in the Sharia. So Imam Tahawi says, this is not Islam. You have to be in the moderate way between the two extremes. You do not practice in a manner that you fall out, and you do not practice in a manner that you go beyond what is required. You stay within the confines which Islam has given to you. You eat, you drink, you be happy, but you worship Allah. You don't give up. You don't become so absorbed that you say, I will never marry in my life, I will never have children in my life, but because they will take me away from Allah. Who is more pious than the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How come the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam married and had children? So the first thing he says, and this religion is bayna tashbih wa ta'til, between two other extremes also. One extreme with respect to the sifat of Allah is that people continued to liken Allah to his makhluk. People of the past, from the Ahlul Kitab, they likened Allah's creation to Allah, and they made human beings divine. And the opposite of that is where people make Allah like a human being, and they make tashbih, and they say the sifats like hands and feet and tongues and feet and all these things are with Allah like how they are with human beings. This is called tashbih. He says, we don't do that as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaah. The total opposite to that is people who do ta'til, like the Jahmiyyah, meaning that they negate all Allah's sifats. None of those things belong to Allah. So if the Quran says, Wallahu adhaka, Allah makes people laugh and Allah becomes happy also, say, no, no, that is not for Allah. If Allah becomes angry, no, that is not for Allah. They dismiss all Allah's sifats. So Imam Tahawi says, we don't reach on one extreme or reach in the other extreme. Allah's sifat, they are evident for him in the way that befits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are not going to negate Allah's sifat. He says, وَبَيْنَ الْجَبَرِ وَالْقَدَرِ. And the deen of Allah is between fatalism and between the rejection of the qadr. There is one concept that is called jabr. Jabr. The Jabariya was the name of one sect. They believe that man is forced to do everything he does. Man has absolutely no free will. So a man commits kufr because Allah has ordered him to, written for him to commit kufr. A man commits shirk because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for him to commit shirk. Yani, one disbelieves in Allah and the other one associates pardons with Allah because it is written he has no choice in the matter. If a man commits murder, no punishment because that is written. These are the people who believe in jabr, in force. So Imam Tahawi says, we don't believe in jabr. And the extreme opposite was those people who were known as the Qadariya. And they believe that man has total free will, that there is nothing called qadr, predestination, or divine decree. They went on the total opposite. SubhanAllah. The ajeeb. How people went away from the path of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat and the true teachers. They believe that a man has absolutely full, he is not told or he is not decreed to do certain things by Allah. He is on his own. So they are rejecting the qadr. So those who reject qadr, they call themselves Qadariya. And those who believe that everything is upon qadr, they call themselves the Jabariya. Imam Tahawi says, we are not Jabariya, we are not Qadariya. We are between the two. In other words, we believe that man has a will, a free will, but a limited free will. But there is a divine decree and predestination written by Allah. وَبَيْنَ الْأَمْنِ وَالْأَيَاسِ. And our deen is between aman and ayas, or ayas. Aman is where a person develops that type of totally secured attitude that he has absolutely no fear in Allah's azab. He lives in the world and he says, nothing will happen to me. I will never be punished. I have full security with Allah. That is aman. That is not Islam. And ayas now means that a person has become totally hopeless and he's despairing Allah's mercy, that I believe Allah will never forgive me. Allah will never have mercy on me. Allah will never overlook my fault. That is ayas, mayus yani. Our deen, the way of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, is one. We do not develop that type of attitude that we have total aman. We are a total safety now. You know that we believe nothing will happen to us and no azab will come to us. Nor do we believe that a person should become totally hopeless. But it's between the both, the moderate course. Deenan wasata, Allah says, this is a millat and this is an ummah that is the moderate course. We believe that, inshallah, if we do good deeds, we hope for Allah's mercy. Allah will move away his azab from us. And we do not give up our hopes in Allah. So on one extent, we believe that, inshallah, Allah wouldn't punish us. We have that in our hearts. Allah will accept our good deeds. He will not punish us. And on the other hand, if we do a wrong deed, we will not become totally mayus. We will not despair. We will not give up on Allah's mercy. It is the middle course. So after saying these things, and after mentioning so many things that we have discussed over a period of 14 weeks, he says, فَهَذَا دِينُنَا وَعِيْتِقَادُنَا. He says, my dear Muslims, this is our iman and this is our beliefs. This what I have mentioned to you from the beginning of the book until now. He says, فَهَذَا دِينُنَا وَعِيْتِقَادُ. This is what we ought to believe in. Not in the things that other people have brought about. Not in the deviated ideas and ways. هَذَا دِينُنَا. This is our deen. وَعِيْتِقَادُنَا. And this is our aqidah and beliefs. ظَاهِرًا وَبَاتِنًا. Not only externally that we show we believe in it, but internally. Both internally and externally, this is our deen. This is our aqidah. This is what we believe in. There are many people who went away. There were many people who went off. There are many people who deviated. As for those people, he says, وَنَحْنُ بَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And we exempt ourselves away from those people, turning ourselves towards Allah. مِنْ كُلِّ مَنْ خَالَفَ. الَّذِي ذَكَرْنَاهُ وَبَيَّنَّاهُ. We exempt ourselves towards Allah from those people who oppose what we have written and what we have explained. Any one of the points that we have mentioned, if anyone opposes that, we are not going to associate with them. We will not align ourselves with them. We will go against those people. He says, وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ. In the end, he makes a beautiful dua, which it's a dua all of us should make also. He says, وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَن يُثَبِّتَنَا عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ. We beg Allah. We ask Allah to keep our feet firm upon iman. Very, very important. That we beg Allah to keep our feet firm upon iman. وَيَخْتِمَ لَنَا بِهِ. And may he make our khatima on our end in life upon iman. That it should not be that we begin to deviate, and we are listening to what people are saying, and we are becoming inclined towards the sweet words of people, and because something sounds logical and it sounds like it makes sense, and we begin, no. We beg Allah to keep us firm on iman, and that we live in such a way that when we die, we are dying upon iman. وَيَعْصِمَنَا مِنَ الْأَهْوَاءِ الْمُخْتَلِفَةِ. And we beg Allah to protect us from the devious and the different type of desires that are showing up. وَالْأَرَاءِ الْمُتَفَرِّقَةِ. And the straying opinions. وَالْمَذَاهِبِ الرَّدِيَةِ. And the destructive and the ruinous type of paths that are there. We ask Allah to protect us from these three things. Three things. Desires that are coming about. Devious desires. Devious desires. That their aim is to destroy the desires in man. To create this, to create that, to create this, to bring about. And this is what the Mu'tazilite sect was based upon. The Mu'tazilite sect was not based on the book of Allah and the Sunnah. The Mu'tazilite sect was based on five different principles which they have invented. Five different principles which they have invented. And they went off. Because they went against the teachings of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they did not stick to the teachings of the Sahabas and the Ijma. They went off on their own, so they became deviated. So he says, we beg Allah to protect us from these three things. Devious desires. Desires are coming, you know. Now, when there's a desire in a man, how does that desire reach to you? By the opinion, isn't that so? He comes to you and he speaks of his desires. So the other thing is that the straying opinions. And these straying opinions and devious desires and the straying opinions, they all form eventually madhahib radiyah, destructive and ruinous mazhabs, yani paths. So this party has come about, and that party has come about, and that party has come about. They are formed because of the devious desires and the straying opinions. Mithlul mushabbiha, like the mushabbiha, they are gone, they have deviated. وَالْمُعْتَزِلَةِ. And the مُعْتَزِلَةِ. وَالْجَهْمِيَةِ وَالْجَبَرِيَةِ وَالْقَدْرِيَةِ. These five different sects that were rampant in his time, he says they were all deviated. The Mushabbiha are those people who likened Allah's sifats to that of human beings. The Mu'tazila were those people who disbelieved in the Quran being Qadim. They said that it is created. And they disbelieved in many, many different things. Many different points that were held by the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, they went against those points and those teachings. The Jahmiya were those people who denied all Allah's attributes. The Mu'attila, the Jahmiya, started and founded by the person by the name of Jahm bin Safwan in the very early centuries of Islam. Then the Qadariya, they were those people, as we explained, who denied the Qadr of Allah. The Jabariya were those people who says everything is upon the Qadr of Allah. He says, these are devious paths. We ask Allah to protect us from paths like those. Then he says, we ask Allah to protect us from others. وَغَيْرُهُمْ مِنَ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُ السُنَّةَ وَالْجَمَعَةِ. He says, and we ask Allah to protect us from all other people besides them who oppose the teachings of the Sunnah, Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. So anyone who opposes the teachings of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, we ask Allah to protect us from those people. We ask Allah to protect us from those people wa nahnu minhum bara'un, and we exempt ourselves from those people wa hum indana dhallalun wa ardiya, and these people for us, anyone who opposes the teachings of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at, we believe they are upon misguidance. There is no doubt about it. There is no compromise in it. Sometimes people want to compromise, and in compromising they go against the true teachings. Sometimes people want to compromise in the true teachings simply to ensure that I don't want this brother become angry with me. I don't want them to think that I'm dividing anybody. But sticking to the truth is extremely important. So he says very, very clear, Imam Tahawi, for us, we believe that all these people who oppose the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat wa halafu al-dalala, and they have taken to misguidance, for us, they are all misguided. And they are all upon deviated paths. Wa billahi al-ismatu wa tawfiq. He says in the end, it is Allah to protect, it is Allah alone to protect, and it is Allah alone to give the tawfiq and the ability for to every person. And this is how he concludes the beautiful book on his aqidah, and he has given us many, many different points to consider. And those of us who have been here, who have listened to the discourses, you will understand how important it is for us to put the right belief where it belongs. To put the right belief where it belongs. And today we spoke about certain things that Muslims still get caught up in, you know, going to fortune tellers and soothsayers and people who can tell you your future. This is haram, it is shirk. You know, reading the horoscope to find out how to live today, what to expect today, is it saying anything that I must expect this and that? They are totally haram. So it's very, very important. Our aqidah, as we said in the beginning, is extremely important, because if our aqidah goes wrong, then we may not be considered as Muslims and believers in the sight of Allah. If our aqidah is right, but our actions may falter, then there can be some making up. We beg Allah to forgive us. But we will not become unbelievers, and we will not become ghayr Muslim by that. Our actions can be made up. You know, we will make tawbah to Allah. You know, we die with the correct iman. We beg Allah to forgive us and forgive those who have gone. But you die with the wrong aqidah, then whether you will be judged as a believer in the sight of Allah, a muwahid in the sight of Allah, it's another thing to ask. So let us stay upon the path. There is nothing to invent. Whatever we have discussed, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, whatever we have discussed from the beginning to the end, it is the belief of all of us as Muslims. We don't believe in anything different from that. The Muslims, we don't believe in that. Those of us who are here, the Muslims who we know as Muslims, and Allah knows best, you know, the Darulum stands upon the Aqidah has been explained in the Aqidah of Tahawi. That is the Aqidah. We follow the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Again, so what people have been saying, na'uza billah, how can we contradict? Now, with respect to our Aqidah, you don't invent Aqidah. You carry on and you follow what has been already, you know, agreed upon, and what have come down directly from the Quran and the Sunnah and the Ijma of the Sahabas. Who dare invent a new Aqidah? How can a person do that? And Imam Tahawi has touched all the different points that people may use as a bait to pull other people. Sometimes the awliya of Allah, the names of the awliya and the righteous and pious people, their names come upon, and people say, well, why are you believing the awliya? They are not prophets. Imam Tahawi made it very clear. It's the aqidah of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. We believe in the truth of the awliya of Allah. They are righteous people, they are pious people. We believe in their karamat also. If they perform miracles that are conforming to the teachings, we believe in that also. Subhanallah, the belief of doing actions that other people who have passed them may get the benefit, that is another thing that people may use as a bait. He says it's the aqidah of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that we believe in that also. Because Allah is the one to give blessings to whomsoever He wishes. So if you have paid attention to what we have discussed, everything has been important. So it is for us to adhere and abide by these teachings of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. And we should continue to learn and seek knowledge so that we will not fall prey to whatever is being said to us. And this is one downfall of the Muslims in many cases. Sometimes a person does not know, and one person who seems to know a little may try to convince him. The poor brother or sister does not know, and he says, okay, well, what you are saying, it is the truth, because the person didn't know otherwise. And that is something that causes deviation, it causes going away from the right path. So it is very important upon us to learn that which is truth. I do hope and pray that what we have discussed in these sessions will be beneficial to you and all the Muslims who have listened, and we beg Allah to accept it. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give benefit to it, to all of us. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to continue to give us the tawfiq and the ability to do good deeds, and also to align ourselves with the two true teachings which have come down over the generations as the teachings of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat, from his holy book, the Holy Quran, and from the blessed teachings of his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah keep us living as true Muslims with the true beliefs, and may he cause us to die with the true beliefs, and may he resurrect us as true believers. And inshallah, we beg Allah to admit us in the blessed place, Jannatul Firdaus. Wal akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.